Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining us on the line is Nicholas Crisp. He, of course, is from the Department of Health. We've spoken with him before. He has got to be having many sleepless nights. Good morning, Dr. Nicholas Crisp. How are you?
Morning, Howard. Fine, thanks very much, and good morning to your listeners.
So, first of all, how are you managing through all of this? This has got to be something that you, well, you never signed up for this, because who could have ever? How are you managing?
Yeah, I've got to say it's tiring, very long days, and lots of queries and lots of troubleshooting, new ideas. Everybody wants to be first. Mm-hmm. But, we have a really nice team. They all work very hard. And we try our best to solve the problems as they arise.
Right. And I'm sure thankless as well, because nobody talks about the things you get right. We all do. And I'm definitely guilty of that, focus on things that we don't get right. So
a lot of people actually write really nice things to us and thank us a lot. We are very grateful for that.
All right. So that is awesome. How is it going? Has it improved? There is a lot of anger and frustration in general in South Africa. Social media not happy at all with the situation that we are now in. How is it going on with regard to the vaccine rollout?
Yeah, look, I think that people are angry, and there's a lot of social media that says we should have started months ago and we should have done this and we should have done other things. But the fact of the matter is we are where we are now, and now we must make the most of it. Unfortunately, we now have quite a lot of vaccine in the country, so our job is to see if we can get it out as fast as possible to as many people as possible. So we have multiple strategies that are running. There's the community general population cohort strategy, which I'm sure you've all heard is now being increased from not just the plus 60s, but the plus 50s. And then we have the essential services sector program, which everybody knows has started with the basic education personnel, shortly be rolling out to the police and the defense force and others. And then we have a lot of occupational health services that are running. So there are a lot of parallel implementation programs. Each of them has a lot of work attached to it. And, it's keeping our team individually and collectively busy. But at least we're getting a lot more vaccines out and gearing up double what we're doing at the moment.
One of the concerns that I think you've raised and certainly has been raised is the drop in registrations on the system, as well as people not showing up when they have an appointment. Have you looked further into that and tried to understand a little? No doubt you have tried to understand. Have you got to the bottom of it?
No, not really. There's a big team, particularly in the private sector. There's a team of people who are amongst themselves as the providers who are trying to understand better and are trawling the data and phoning people and setting up a research project. But the registration has dropped off. It always does, but it's just dropped off a lot sooner than we thought it would have. Mm. And it has been worse in urban areas, which is still flummoxing us completely.
Yeah, one would have
and
thought.
And then people not coming. My sense is that people are afraid to come into crowds and don't want to be exposed. So that's a large part of the reason, because there's no shows. So some sites are sending out full vaccination schedules, or appointment schedules, and only 30% of people are arriving at that site.
That is tragic. That is absolutely tragic, especially for people who are desperate to get vaccinations. They could have taken those plates.
So now they're overshooting, trying to get the numbers up. And we have now deliberately decided that we are scheduling uninsured people into the private sites. If insured people are not coming for vaccinations, we must still use the vaccination. So we are going to schedule as many uninsured people as we can to the private side.
There's been a lot of anecdotal information that I've received, and I have no way to verify what is real and what's not, because a lot of information happens to come my way. But there is, and there's a couple of things that seem to be consistently raised. One of them is that vaccines are not used are being thrown away. And number two, in other words, at the end of the day, so in Israel, I know right at the beginning, you could just arrive at a vaccination site fight by the end of the day if there were vaccines available that hadn't been used, even if you didn't have an appointment, you could get it. So that's the one question. Are vaccines being thrown away at certain sites? And number two is where these sites are completely empty and somebody might show up, they being turned away because, I don't know, they maybe they're not on a medical aid and they went to one of the private facilities or they weren't scheduled for that day, etc. Your response to that?
Yeah, so it was like that a couple of weeks ago, and certainly we've been working hard with that. We have a meeting between the public sector and the private sector on a regular basis, and we have now got agreement, which hopefully is filtered down to the vaccination site, that we are deliberately, as I said, seeing uninsured people, and that will be paid for by the state. So the all sites do allow people to walk in at the end of the day if there's still vaccines left, but surely they're not going to allow walk-in patients or people to receive vaccinations while there are others who are scheduled who are still waiting in the queue having come through the system. So it is inconvenient for those who do choose to do that, and it's a bit risky if you're not certain there'll be a vaccine for you. But certainly for private patients who are insured, they tend to know their pharmacies and they know their doctors and they know their medical schemes and so on. They can always phone ahead and check whether there's vaccine so that they don't have that kind of inconvenience. It's for the uninsured population who don't have transport, don't have phones and aren't able to make that contact, that they are the ones who are now getting frustrated by waiting in queue.
So are you saying, though, that are you saying, if I just understand this correctly, I'm 52 years old, I'm not yet scheduled, it'll be sometime in the near future, but if I get hold of my Dis-Chem because I'm on a private medical aid and I say to them, I'm not yet 60, do you have vaccines available at the end of the day? If they do have available and they've been through those that are scheduled, that I could go and get that vaccine.
So you have to be registered on the EVDS before you can be vaccinated, because otherwise we've got no record of you.
Yes.
And if something does happen, we can't get back. We can't find out what went wrong and so forth. And we can't account for the vaccine.
Right.
So at the moment, you as a 52-year-old, cannot
Because I'm actually not on the system yet.
After the 1st of July, you can, because we've lowered the age.
Right.
From the 1st of July, and then immediately after that, we will set the train in motion to start scheduling people between 50 and 59 together with the 60 plus. So just opens the demand.
But so, for example, one of our listeners just messaged, Kim says, can you please ask, I'm scheduled to have my second Pfizer this week. I've not yet received notification. Can I just go then, or do I need to wait for notification? So the short answer to that, Nick, let's see if I can answer correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, sister, I know that I've got it right, is she can actually, if she's on a private medical aid, wherever she can go to a private facility, even if she's not invited, provided they have left over at the end of the day for her.
That's correct.
Because she's registered, she's
after
had the first
42nd day, because if you try and come before that, the system will say you're not eligible.
Right. Okay.
So we know the system's working. I've had SMSs during the course of yesterday and today, because yesterday was the first day that the SMSs for the 42 days went out. And then today all that went out again. So I've received from family and friends to say, hey, your system's working. I just got my invitation.
Oh, that's awesome.
We do know it's working. And if you only got it on Friday of the first week, then your 42 days is up on the Friday of this week. So don't try and go before that, because the system will record you as ineligible.
I can tell you our listeners are going to do that. They're going to find a way to calculate a different way.
please don't frustrate yourself. Wait, either wait to SMS or count your 42 days very carefully and make sure. And at least on the 43rd day, you are definitely going to be eligible on the system. And you will be able to go for your second dose.
Right. Another question is that there's a news item this morning coming out of Israel that they have 800,000 Pfizer vaccines that are due to expire by the end of July. And they will have to destroy them if they can't find a buyer for them. Is the department looking at various options like this? Is my first question. And my second question is, would it be problematic for an organization, a medical aid, to approach look for a parcel like this and procure it themselves?
So the vaccine that's come in from Johnson & Johnson from the States to replace that was lost during the debacle with the FDA and the API plant in Baltimore. That is all short expiry date. Vaccine expires on the 11th of August, which is why we're using it in these essential workers groups, because we know we can get a lot of people very quickly and it won't expire. The arrangement with purchase of vaccines is that only countries can purchase vaccines, not even sub-countries. So provinces can't even buy vaccines. It's only national government. And if any vaccine comes into the country by any other means, there will be no legal recourse whatsoever. It will have been imported illegally because it won't have a license from the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority. And that's in order to make sure that people are not bringing in sterile water and falsely labeled bottles and expired stock and doing dangerous things. Vaccines that come into the country go through a quality check when they land, because even we don't believe what they are until we know what they are. So they go through the National Control Authority to make sure not only that they are actually a vaccine and correctly labeled and so on, and that they are not expired, but that they're actually still potent and that what's in the bottle is what it says is in the bottle.
In other words, what you're saying, and that really does make perfect sense, is I might have full confidence in the Pfizer vaccines from Israel, but the minute you open this up and allow this to happen from various places, you lose control of it in terms of quality, efficacy, and it could even be dangerous.
Yeah, that's quite right.
And unfortunately, that is where we leave it. Dr. Nicholas Crisp, thank you as always for making yourself available, for speaking to us, and for answering many of our questions.